Hello and welcome to Linux Crazy Podcast. Today I'm pleased to introduce to all of you Bob, Pappy, McFay. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah.
Bob came up with the idea of Pappy's Kernel Seeds, a site with pre-made kernel.config seeds. For a link to his site and more information, go to linuxcrazy.com. Right on the front page, I'll have a link to Pappy's seeds, kernel seeds. If you want to contact me, my email address is david@linuxcrazy.com, or most days you can reach me on IRC, the server Freenode, and the channel is #LinuxCrazy. Bob, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Bob, how long have you been a Gentoo user?
Well, actually, a little over a year and a half. I'm going on my two-year mark. Come December.
How did you come up with the nick Pappy McFay?
My first pagan gathering I attended with a bunch of my friends. And we got together by Louisville Lake in Texas. And during the ritual, a butterfly came and landed on me and like stayed there for part of the ritual. And my harp teacher at the time was just amazed by that, and he started calling me Pappy for Papillon, French for butterfly. Sometime thereafter, I added the McFay because the group I was with doing the pagan ritual was a bunch of gay men called the Radical Fairies. And they spell fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E. So I added the M-C from the Irish heritage, and there you go, Pappy McFay.
What has your journey been like with Linux, and how did it get started?
The first time I played with Linux was in 93 or 94. At the time, I was running a computer BBS in Toledo. It was called the Pleasure Dome, for anybody out there who actually remembers it and happened to listen to the podcast. But I went with a bunch of my users to a computer fest, which is like a ham fest, but it was a whole lot better attended. A couple of my users were also Linux users. And I bought an InfoMagic CD. It had Slackware, Debian, and Red Hat before you had to pay for it. I got Debian to work. Couldn't get Red Hat to do a thing. Oh, I'm sorry, I got Slackware to work. Debian almost worked, and Red Hat just wouldn't work at all. So I stuck with Slackware and actually got X to work, or at the time it was X386.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that was a major accomplishment. I remember I had a Debian install, and I couldn't get X to work at all because you had to manually put in all the I didn't even know what was going on. It had, you know, the monitor resolution and all this stuff, and I could never get X to work in the beginning until I tried Red Hat.
Yeah. Well, it was not easy. I mean, as I recall, I learned an awful lot about the Alt F1 through 8 keys and using the man command. So, I mean, if I got it to work, I was amazed. The only thing I could never really get to work right was having to play my audio CDs. It just it couldn't do it. I worked with that for a little while. I actually had a system at one time that triple booted. It booted Slackware, Windows 3.1.1, and DOS 6.2, and OS2 Warp. So that was a system. I had a lot of fun with that. I gave up on Linux for a while because I stupidly listened to someone who said there was no future in it, that it was just a bunch of hobbyists, you know, wasting a lot of time. So I kind of gave up on it for a little while, and then a friend of mine came over with his laptop, and he had FLAC 2.8, set up on it, and I was like, oh my God, what happened to Linux? You know, this is right. not my beautiful Linux. It was great. So that lit a fire under me. I went and got a FLAC CD off the net, and it was okay, but it didn't have screensavers. And as I recall, even way back when, Linux was good for having good screensavers, and one of my favorite was, when the guys at Slackware were obsessed with the Church of the Subgenius, and you kept seeing Bob showing up in all the screensavers. I always thought that was pretty cool. But let's see, FLAC. Oh yeah, after I played with FLAC for a little while, I thought, okay, this is cool, but it's really not what I like. So I went and got Slackware, and at the time it was Slackware 11. And I was just amazed, because I could actually use my CD more than once. You know, I could listen to my audio CDs, and I could even rip them, and I could do all these really great things with the software, and the stability, the look, everything had improved. I stuck with Slackware for a while and went to linuxquestions.org, got involved with their, with the Slackware forum, and ran into a lot of clashes with people, and kind of got over it. And it was at that point that I started playing with Gentoo.
How did you make out on your first Gentoo install?
Oh, 1 through 5 didn't work at all. I made the mistake of using the live CD and using a Pentium 2, and even though it had a gig of memory, a Pentium 2 just cannot recompile. Even, doing an Emerge AEV system on the thing is a 2-day affair. So, I just got impatient over and over, and finally I had set that same machine up with Debian, because I was playing with Debian at the time as well, see how it had progressed, and I just started installing Gentoo on another partition, and I got it to take by using grub from Debian to start the kernel in Gentoo. I was impressed, and it's ever since then. I don't use the live CD. I just do the standard: get the stage 3, then get the snapshot, then explode it all onto a hard drive, fire it up, and you're done. That's really the most simple way to install this. I just love it.
Yeah, my first time I installed it, I had to try to do it with some shortcuts instead of following the handbook all the way. So once I followed the handbook, the next time through, everything went all right. I'm like you. I just use the minimal install CD. Or a system rescue CD if I have a newer computer that's minimum CD doesn't boot on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What aspects of Gentoo do you feel the developers and maintainers have got right?
Just about everything. I'm really impressed with Gentoo's stability. Coming from using Slackware 11 and then moving up to 12 when it came out, there was always a bit of instability about that, the way it felt. But the way the developers patch everything and use Bugzilla to really good ends, I've never had such a stable operating system. Even my Windows installs aren't this stable. And I pride myself on how stable I can make a computer operate.
What is it about Gentoo you would like to see improved?
I'd like them to bring back the monolithic KDE e-builds, but that isn't going to happen. I'd really like that, but I suppose at this point everything's set up with the split e-builds, and it would take more time to go back than it would to continue where I'm at. So that's about it. As far as how responsive the community is, and you know, especially the people higher up. I mean, for the most part, it's a really great community. It really is. I'm very impressed.
Tell us about Pappy's Kernel Seeds.
Well, that started as, when you have four or five computers that you're keeping running, you know, eventually you come to a point where you say, okay, let's just set up something so all I have to do is drop something in the computer, do a little fussing with it, and then boom, it's ready to go. I made up a few prototypes like that, and as I perused the forums, I ran into people who were just having all kinds of problems brought on by kernel misconfiguration. And, you know, you could easily see it. And I would offer, you know, what I had to people, and they'd come back and saying, yeah, it works, great, thank you. And it was kind of at that point I thought, well, why don't I just do this to all, you know, to certain versions of all the kernels that I have and see what I can come up with. And that's basically the beginning. And since then, you know, I've added, I work with vanilla kernel, vanilla sources, I'm sorry, Gen 2 sources, Tux on Ice, and I just added hardened a couple weeks ago. And so far, I mean, it's really great. You know, I get a lot of compliments, a lot of thank yous, which I really appreciate. I really have to say to all those who thank me personally, you guys are the tops. I appreciate being able to do something for the community to give back, because to me that's what it's about. And also a shout out to Nettie Seagoon, who graciously allows me to use some space on his server there in Scotland, and who also, I think, dropped my name to you. And
yes.
For that, I thank you twice. You're a gentleman and scholar. And I think that's about it on that subject.
Yeah, I guess the basic idea behind it is that it gets the base configuration to where mostly all the hardware is covered. All the person would have to do is go in and add a few items, as far as maybe they have a special type of drive or special video hardware or special whatever.
Well,
it
no,
is.
Actually,
but the,
I'm ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought.
Well, you know better than I do. So.
Oh, okay. Actually, my kernels come pretty much neutral. As far as hardware is concerned, I set up basically standard networking, certain hardware devices like USB ports and other things, and then after that, it's up to the user to plug in their particular devices. And there's plenty of information about that on the website. When you get there, that's an awful lot of information to cover. It might bore people, or you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah, I noticed a few years ago that the base kernel config that would come when you merge Gen 2 sources would change each time, because almost like whoever's maintaining the kernel and testing them out would have their config in there, because sometimes there would be some oddball stuff in the base configuration that would come from the Gen 2 sources.
Yeah, and that's definitely another thing I addressed with the seeds. Popular rumor has it that the config that you get comes from Linus Torvald's personal machine. I don't know how true that is. I've read it like 3 or 4 times. I hope I'm not spreading a myth.
Right.
But yeah, that's the biggest problem I found with the base configuration, is it's just scattershot, you know.
Yeah.
And it comes with CPU scheduling, fair scheduling, et cetera, turned on. That stuff is, you know, pardon my opinion, but that stuff is garbage. It slows down the computers. And as of yet, I have yet to read that they have any user space applications even set for it. It's mostly people just messing with scripts, and some work and some don't. I've read it likened to, some really fancy plumbing without the toilet or the tub or the sink. So,
it's a terrific idea, Bob. You know, it would be nice if your seed would come with the default when you emerged to Gentoo sources, that it would come with that actual config and with a little how-to about how to do your first kernel if you've had trouble with it, you know?
Really? That's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah. It would, because you can imagine the poor person that's first installing Gentoo. I know the first time I did it, I had a little bit of experience like you. I was using Slackware, and I was going ahead and doing my own kernels anyhow. But for a person coming from, let's say, even Debian or Ubuntu or even a RPM-based distro like Fedora, they're going to be in big trouble.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've worked recently with a client setting up a CentOS server, and my God, I don't know what all you have to install via Yum to get it to work. I couldn't get the kernel to compile no matter what I did. I was just sitting there going, why won't this compile my kernel? And I believe you're supposed to also add a make file to the sources, which I kind of gave up on it, and the client kind of got over it at about that point as well. And I didn't lose any money on the deal, thank God, but, it was a real pain, and, I actually got CentOS to work many weeks after the fact, but it's just, it's crazy. And in Debian, when I tried to compile a kernel on it, I was like, why do I need this extra application? What's that all about?
Yeah, you're better off with those type of distros to just go with the stock kernel and not fool around with it too much.
Absolutely, because you get into trouble, and I found that out the hard way. I mean, I went and we installed a different kernel version and everything. It just crashed his server, his offsite server. Thankfully, we could get it going again, but it was a nightmare.
Do you have any other ideas to help new Gentoo users?
I'm thinking about getting more machinery so I have more represented versions of Xorg, so I have Xorg conf's ready to go, because that's another area I've been finding lately that people have a lot of trouble with, especially with Xorg 5 and above, or 1.5 and above, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, with the new way they're doing things, I think it might be a little bit simpler as far as you almost don't even need an xorg.config to at least get it going, but you will to get anything working the way you want it working later on.
Right, and that's kind of the idea, because take my laptop, it's got an Intel GPU and it works as well as it ever has, with xorg 1.6. And et cetera, et cetera. Where was I? Train of thought just derailed. Oh God.
with those Intel laptops, I guess I don't have one myself with an Intel video card on it, but I guess it's a little bit tricky getting the DRI working with Xorg.
Oh, it can be a real pain, and I still don't have the best OpenGL on it, because I use the carousel screensaver, and depending on how fast the frames are moving, there's all kind of chopping still going on. But they got it right, so I can watch a DVD. I mean, you take the good with the bad. I've got NVIDIA cards and two other machines. And I get all the pretty open GL I want, and ne'er a tear to be seen.
Yeah, with Intel working with the kernel developers, I'm thinking down the road that it should get a lot better. The Intel cards, I boycotted Nevada for a little while because they wouldn't release an open source driver. And I went to ATI because they at least were releasing that Radeon HD driver. And then when XR jumped up to 1.5, I was having trouble with the ATI and the Radeon HD driver. So, in fact, and I had an old Nevada card laying around, and being my, I guess you would say, after it doesn't work, it's amazing how you're... all of this great stuff about I'm not using Nevada anymore went out the window, and I put that Nevada card in there, and it worked right off the bat. So that's in my main desktop box. I went back to the Nevada card, and my scruples went right out the window. So.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. That's like me and Endus Wrapper. I used to love Endus Wrapper, but. You know, after kernel 0.25 kernel family, it went out the window. Its support went out the window, and it saddened me to have to change over to the B43 kernel module, because I've always thought Endus Wrapper was just all it, and I could use all the Windows settings and set my wireless under Endus Wrapper, and I could get a steady state 2.8 megs per second out of it, and that's pretty good. You know, 2.8 at a fairly steady state. With peaks of 3.0, I would just sit there going, "There's no way it's going that fast," but it was, and you know, it does not go that fast with B43, but they fixed B43, and it's a lot more stable than it was, so I live with it. But it made me cry.
Yeah, that's for those Broadcom cards, right?
Yeah, I've got a Broadcom in this lappy.
How and where have you implemented Gen 2, and why was it chosen?
Well, I chose it for my own stuff because it's rock steady. And, you know, like I said, you know, there's nothing better. I've played with... a lot of different distributions, the Ubuntu's and Arch and Vector, which I actually liked. I thought Vector was kind of cool. It had some interesting stuff, but it's another binary distro, and it's not Gen 2. You know, I used to call Gen 2 and Lunar Linux and all that, I used to call them... Cup of Soup Linux, because it's not Linux until you make it. And you know, I've kind of backtracked on that statement because I understand now the absolute wisdom of compiling computer software on the computer it's going to be working.
Yeah, if you have the time and the inclination to do it, it's definitely worth it, because what I found is that once it compiles on your box, it's going to be pretty solid. Otherwise, it's not going to compile. That's the whole idea behind it.
Yep.
If it's compiled on another box and then you run it as a binary, sometimes it's the symbolic links might not exactly be right and this and that.
Yep.
So it turns out to be a lot more solid. If it gets installed, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and I went through that trouble with Slackware because I was trying to get Ardor to install. And it was a nightmare, you know. I mean, we're talking days and days and days rounding up dependency after dependency and then looking for build files for them and then building it and then installing it and hoping it worked. And it never did work right. I never got Ardor to work right under Slackware. And under Gen 2, it works. I mean, it's not the most stable thing, but I've used it to good effect. I haven't used it as much as I use my Windows application for doing my audio work, but I know the Windows application a whole lot better. I mean, I can, you know, I can use it like just boom, 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 and get what I got to get done. And you know, right now I'm working with my harp teacher on doing some more production work, so you know, I'm being a traitor to the cause, at least as far as my music goes. But I am actually intending to work with Ardor a whole lot more, specifically on my own recording stuff.
Is Ardor, is it Java-based?
No. Well, actually, I think it might be. Hold on. I'm not quite sure. It uses scons, and there's a lot of Python scripting with it.
Oh,
but I think
it's
C or C++. As far as audio programs go, it's the best Linux has to offer, and I really like it. It's not, I don't know it as well as the DOS-based or the Windows program that I use, but, I am definitely going to be working on it, because once I get done with this present production work, I'm going to start doing my own thing again.
Which open source programs not currently available in the Portage tree would you like to see included?
If they actually have fair CPU scheduling stuff out there, I'd like to see it hit, so I can at least see if it's even worth thinking about modifying that part of my kernel seeds. And that's about it. I'd love it if they'd take Cool Edit Pro and port it for Linux, because it would be really cool to use it, and hopefully they wouldn't put a jack front end on it, so I wouldn't have to worry about the instability of jack.
What resources have you found most helpful when troubleshooting with Engine 2?
Bugzilla. Bugzilla is just all that, because if I haven't found the problem, someone else already has. And usually when I go to Bugzilla looking for solutions to issues, I find them. I can even offer them at times, which is actually pretty cool.
What resources have you used to keep up to date with the latest trends in the open source software?
I usually check out the monthly newsletter from Gentoo to see what's going on in areas that interest me. Sometimes, if something really interests me and I find a link to it, I'll go read about other things. I also, working with Zen kernels and using those. They're on the bleeding edge in open source kernel tech, so I keep up with them really well.
Have you come across any nice tips or tutorials?
The one that Nettie Seagoon has about switching over from using the ATA to using the SATA drivers, that I live by that. I recommend it to people. I was looking for it, but I can't find it. But it's definitely there in the forum. You just got to look for it.
What would be your dream job?
To be in a room with every kind of computer that there is and move from one to the next, trying to fix problems with them. Either that or working in a very nice, state-of-the-art modern sound studio with 64 tracks at my disposal and huge quiet rooms and the whole nine yards, or being a millionaire where I can just dance between those jobs and say, oh, cool, I'm playing with software over here. It's like, oh, I'm bored, now I'm going to go play with music. Now I'm going to do this, now I'm going to do that. That would be my ideal job. Or being a Mythbuster, that would be awesome.
What can users do to improve Gentoo?
Become more friendly with Bugzilla, definitely, because there are so many fixes out there that, if people would just report the issues that they're having to Bugzilla, there'd be an awful lot more fixed programs out there. But, slowly but surely, it'll get there. I try my best to push people in that direction.
What are the specs of your current boxes, and please describe your home network.
All right. I've got a Pappy Lap, which is compact C504US, 2 gigs of RAM, 1.8 gigahertz Celeron, 120 meg hard drive, Intel GPU, 1280 by 800 display. I have Core 2, which is a Core 2, 2.33 gigahertz, NVIDIA 7200, 500 gig Seagate Barracuda hard drive, Sony burner, DVD slash CD burner. It's got 4 gigs in it. I don't know if I said that yet. 4 gigs, and a MIDI-MAN Delta 66 with the full-on preamp head. Then I've got Bam Bam, which is a Pentium 4 at 3 gigahertz with 512 megs of RAM. Another NVIDIA card, I think it's 5200. Let's see what kind of net card does it have. It uses an E1000. It's the only gigahertz thing I have on my net. And I have Web Server 1, which is going to be put into service soon as my actual web server when it goes live. It's a Pentium 3 with ATI, I think it's an ATI Rage. Via Rhine net card. My network starts out at the DSL modem that goes into a Netgear. I don't know the number right off my hand. I'm not upstairs and I'm not going there. A Netgear wireless router. Out of that, it goes into a switch, goes into each of the individual computers up in my room, and then I have a longer cable that comes down for my roommate's computers, which are both Windows machines. So I have 2 Windows machines, 4 Linux machines, and wireless. And 3 of the Linux, or 3 of the Gen 2 machines, I'd rather use the word Gen 2. 3 of the Gen 2 machines are dual boot with Windows XP.
So what's going to be your next project?
Right now I'm working on getting my server up and completely on the web. That's mostly a money issue. As soon as I get that one ironed out, then I'm definitely putting my Pappy seeds and perhaps an online resume up at the same time, and that'll be coming out of my own server. That I'm hoping to have that done by the end of summer or middle of fall. And, you know, I'm also currently working on a new project with my harp teacher, doing some more recording work, which, by the way, shameless plug for all those who are listening and like to listen to Celtic folk music, check out Jeffrey the Bard Fanny Power on iTunes or Amazon.com. He'll be much appreciative, and so will I. So, end of shameless plug.
What gives you the most enjoyment within the Gen 2 community?
Having people thank me and knowing that I've actually gone on and helped people get their computers going right. You know, I don't have kids and I'm not going to. So the only way I can share what I know is to share it with others. What's the point of my knowledge if I can't share it? You know, I don't want to give everything away. You know, I do have my trade secrets, of course, but, you know, when it comes to Gen 2, I believe that, you know, it's all about doing it as a team, and you know, I'm not smart enough to be a coder yet. I won't say I'm not smart enough. Let me put it better. I haven't gone through schooling, formal schooling on how to code. I don't know that, you know, it's absolutely necessary if I got to the point where I was doing it on a daily basis, because I am a rather smart cookie. But, to be able to offer what I know, you know, what limited knowledge I have of Gen 2, and to help someone else get their computer going and to break the Microsoft habit, I'm all for it. You know, I just am. And it's not because I have anything personal against Microsoft. I just want there to be an option, and I think it's silly, you know, that, you know, Gen 2 or Linux in general isn't a more viable option, especially with all the pluses that you get with it. You know, obviously it's not perfect; it's something made by man, but you know, everybody's hand, you know, helping a little bit brings it that much closer to perfection. You know, I don't think Microsoft has that mentality, but I think it does. I think it exists in the Gen 2 community.
Bob, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would like to really thank the people I've met through the Gen 2 forum. Every one of you has helped me, whether it's by me helping you or by me silently reading your problem and fixing one that I have of my own. I'm all about the community spirit of Gen 2, and you guys have got a user for life. I mean, when I get to the point when I can completely stop using Microsoft products, then I'll be a really happy person. Then I can stand on my moral soapbox and enjoy myself. But I really appreciate the Gen 2 community, and all you guys rock. You just absolutely rock. And I really thank you for considering me for this interview. I was slightly taken aback, as you can tell. You know, I was dumbfounded. It's like, really, someone wants to interview me? You know, I consider it an honor, and I thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Bob. It was my pleasure. I always like to get Gen 2 users for interviews, and it's always very interesting. And also want to thank you for your wonderful poppy seeds. It's going to help a lot of people, and probably going to help me one time. If I get in a jam, I'm going to certainly try it out.
All right.
Thanks for the interview, Bob.
Thank you. You have a good day.
All right. Bye.